Well, amen. I think that song would preach. What do you think? Oh, what a blessing it was. And music is to minister. It's to minister, not for entertainment, but what a blessing that was. I truly enjoyed that, but I was blessed by it. The book of Lamentations, we've been going through on Sunday nights and going through it and teaching on the divisions of the Bible, and understanding just why we have every book that God has preserved for us. And we've been looking at several different things, went through the historical books and then now the poetical books, the books of poetry. Lamentations is the last book of poetry. And it is written by the prophet Jeremiah. Some have it in the prophetical books because it follows the book of Jeremiah, but I truly believe that it's the last of the books of poetry. Either way, it's in our Bible, amen? It's God's Word and something that we can be blessed by. And so if you would stand with me, we're going to just read chapter 1, the first four verses, and then we'll get right into it. How doth the city sit solitary, that was full of people? How is she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place and sensing your presence here. Thank you for that. Thank you for how you work through our music services to be a blessing. And now, Father, as we open up your holy word, I just pray that you'd give each one of us insight into what you have for us tonight. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. The book of Lamentations is how Jeremiah views the captivity of God's people. Jeremiah prophesied before the captivity and into the beginning of the captivity. So we find the book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, not as prophecy, but just as more of a poetry. It is Jeremiah lamenting over Israel's captivity. To lament is to utter cries of sorrow, a heartfelt expression of sorrow. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. If you'd study the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 of Lamentations, verse 11 says this. Jeremiah says, "Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth." I mean, his whole inside, he says, is just tore up. "For the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city." As you would read through the book of Lamentations, you'll find that this book reveals the love of God for the very people in whom he has chastened and taken into captivity. Jeremiah, as a prophet, saw it coming and could not get Israel to see it. Wow. You know how that just tears you up? Especially a parent. You love your children, and you want your children to turn out right. I often say that parents will never give an account for how their children turn out, but you will give an account for how you've raised them. That is the duty of the parents to bring them up. That every child has a free will. But I have seen that if you bring them up right, they make right choices. And praise the Lord for the most part. But you see where that child is headed. even as an adult child. You see the things that they're involved in, and you can see very clearly where it's going to lead that child, and yet your child is blinded to it. And you ache. You do anything to be able to get that child to see what you see. If you can relate to that, you can relate to Jeremiah. And you can relate to his lamentations over Jerusalem, over the people of God. This book reveals the love of God for the very people whom he chastened. There's five chapters and five thoughts on lamentations. The first here in chapter 1 is the mourning for the loss of fellowship. The main thing about what happened to Israel, to the children of God, when they had the fellowship of God, they were the most powerful nation on planet Earth. Their enemies fell before them. But when they lost the fellowship with God, they lost the power of God. And so we find here that he laments over the first four verses that we just read. He sees now that Judah has gone into captivity following Israel. Now the children of God are in captivity. In verse 9, he says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Verse 16. For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Christians are victorious when they are serving the Lord. When they are living as God would have them to live, the enemy has no power over them. Sin has no power over us. The power that sin has is the power that we give it. The power that Satan has in our lives is the power that we give him. Their sins had separated them from their walk with God. As we would go back, we get into the prophetical books, we'll read the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah continued to warn them, if you continue to do this, this is what God's going to do. You're facing the judgment of God. He pleaded with them. He wept with them to do anything he could. He saw the end, and he couldn't get one convert. 1 John chapter 1. These biblical principles are the same today. Most pastors have given their life to the Lord to be an under-shepherd, Jesus Christ being the great shepherd. And with that, and understanding God's words, and we understand Satan, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We know how Satan works. Many times we see what's going to happen, and we try to wave the red flag. You can't control, you can't make decisions for anybody. But if a parent, a loving parent, could, you would continue to make those decisions for your children as long as you could do that. But we can't do that. People have a free will. They will make their own decisions. But you know what's going to take place. We find that if we turn to sin, even as the children of God, we will lose the fellowship with God. Now, you can't lose salvation. Eternal life is eternal life. A gift is a gift. Amen. God is not an Indian giver. He's not going to take back something that he's given. If he's given it to you, it's yours. And you're sealed to that day of redemption. You have everlasting life. Everlasting life is everlasting. But you can lose the fellowship of God. I believe that John writes to that end in 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5, he says, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. I mean, just understand, if you say that you are in fellowship with God and you're right with God, and yet you are living a life of sin, you're doing what God says not to do, and you're not doing the things that God says to do, you're living a life of sin, you do not have fellowship with God. How can you say that, preacher? Because I know what the Bible says. And this Bible is the same today as it always been. The Word of God is unchangeable. He is an immutable God. He will never change. Once you learn a principle from the Word of God, once you learn of God's commandments, it will never change. What a blessing it is to know that. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Jeremiah saw the nation of Israel and said, you're the children of God. You have been chosen to represent God to an almighty God to this lost and dying world. You are the example of God to the world. You are the testimony that God has for the world to look to know that there is a creator God. If you are walking in fellowship with Him, if you are doing what He has you to do, and if you are that testimony, if you have the testimony He wants you to have, you have fellowship with God. Go back with me to our text. Their sin had separated them from their walk with God. Once we've lost that fellowship, judgment is imminent. Once you have lost that fellowship and you are walking in darkness, you've turned away from the light, judgment is imminent. That's what Jeremiah writes. Jeremiah has seen it coming. And now that it's happened, he is crying. For these things I weep. He knew it was coming. He couldn't convince them of it. Mine eye runneth down with water because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Sin prevailed, gave Satan the victory. Understanding that, let me just read to you chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews in chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The purpose for God's judgment is to get us to turn from that which separated us from fellowship. That's how God would deal with His people in the Old Testament. That's how He dealt with Israel. Jeremiah saw it. But we find here in the book of Hebrews, that's exactly how God deals with New Testament Christianity. In verse 10, He says, for they verily for a few days chasten. It's talking about identifying it with fathers disciplining their children. But He, God, for our profit. God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness, that we might get back to living as God would have us to live. And then He goes on to say in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Jeremiah saw it. He knew it was coming after it happened. We find that he's lamenting. The mourning for the loss of fellowship, because that's what it brings to us. The loss of fellowship brings the judgment of God upon those that are truly saved. The second chapter in the book of Lamentations, the second chapter. Jeremiah laments over Israel's being the target of God's anger. Now, be angry and sin not. Anger is good if it's controlled anger. Amen? We need to get angry at the devil. We need to get angry at sin. We need to get angry at anything that's going to hinder our walk with God and to keep people from knowing God and living according to God's word and will. In Lamentations chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, how hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remember not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughters of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. Now, in this, you very, very clearly see that Jeremiah is talking about the judgment, the anger of God. The anger of God is the anger of Israel's sin. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant in the eye of the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was an enemy as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentations. Wow. He's lamenting over Israel, the children of God, being the target of God's anger. And the question is, why would God judge? That's not the question. The question is, why would Israel put God in a position to have to chasten them? If you know God, and if you know God's word, if you know what God says he will do. Jeremiah was there preaching and teaching. They were not ignorant of the word of God. They knew exactly what God had said to them. If you sin, you shall surely die. If you commit sins, you're going to be judged. If you continue living the way that you're living and turning your back on God and walking away from God and serving other gods, listen to me. If you continue to do that, you are going to force the very hand of judgment of a God who loves you, but will not allow you to live a life of sin without the chastisement. If you're a child of God, now if you can live in sin and be without chastisement, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not really saved, no matter what you might think. If you do not have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then you're not saved. If you not have the judgment of God, the chastening of God, living in sin, you're not saved. If you're a child of God, you will experience the judgment of God if you continue to live a life of sin. That's a biblical principle. The Old Testament is a very clear teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan gets the victory through our sin. Chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. Look there with me. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? ? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we looked for. We have found. We have seen it. Satan gets the victory because instead of being a testimony for Christ, you're used by the devil to be a testimony against Christ. I believe that is what the Bible talks about of crucifying Christ afresh. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to live your life to represent Jesus Christ. You're a witness, you're an ambassador. And when you, as a born-again believer, give yourself to sin, Satan gets the victory. You're crucifying Christ afresh, and everyone there looks at that and is hindered instead of helped and having faith in God. Yeah. Why would we put God in a position to have to judge us, to have to discipline us? I remember raising teenagers, and that's one of the things I kept referring to. You know what's coming. We've been pretty steady in our discipline of sin. We've been pretty consistent. Have you ever gotten by with it? Once we understand that you've done something, have you ever gotten by with it? Have you ever seen me as your father say, oh, hey, that's all right. It could have been worse. No. You know you're not going to get by with it. Why do you continually put me in the position to have to punish you? Stop it. Can I tell you, I feel like that's God in our own lives. Have you ever gotten by with sin? Now, you might have thought you got by with it, but you don't get by with sin. It affects you. Whether you understand how it's affecting you or not, Satan gets a victory. Every time a born-again believer yields to sin, Satan gets a victory. It affects your heart. It affects your mind. It affects everything about your life. Sin destroys. The end result of sin is death. Understanding that, as a born-again believer, why do you put God in the position to have to discipline you when he would far more want to bless you? God desires to bless us. God desires to give us what we need and to give us the desires of our heart. Listen to me. If you want God's blessings, then live a life that is pleasing unto God. Yeah. Jeremiah knew this, and he's lamenting over what Israel has done, and he's lamenting and saying, you put God in a position to do what's been done. Verse 17, the Lord hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied, and hath caused their enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversary. Adam, if ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. God always, after he's given a command, he gives a warning of what will happen if you disregard that command. Adam, if ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. You can't blame it on Eve. You won't be able to blame it on the devil. Because you know, Adam, if ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Did Adam eat? Did he die? He was separated, spiritual death. He was separated from the fellowship of God. And he started aging to where he would die a physical death. And so death has passed on to all of us. Wow. How can a loving God send anybody to a devil's hell? You don't understand. No. A just God has to be good to his word. Yeah. And that very same just God would make the greatest sacrifice of all to reveal his love to humanity. Noah, warn the people, the flood is coming. The whole time that you are building the ark, warn the people why you are building the ark for 120 years. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, warned the people. When the floods came, only Noah and his immediate family were saved. For 40 years, Jeremiah had been weeping and warning God's children. Now it's taken place. The captivity has taken place. Chapters 3 and 4, the lamentations over the suffering. Chapter 3, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old, and hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and hath compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places. Now, a lot of this you can see actually Christ and how he suffered on the cross. But this was the just judgment of God upon the children of disobedience. This is a result of their sin. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in a dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Lamentations over suffering. But in that suffering, remember God's love. Very same chapter, chapter 3. Now look down to verse 20 with me. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You have been judged according to your sins. But as you are judged according to your sins, understand it's still a loving God who loves you. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 31 says, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Sometimes when my dad was spanking me, I thought it was going to last forever. And the pain, he knew that if it didn't hurt, it didn't help. You got to understand that I fear the pain more than I fear the enjoyment. If your children don't fear the pain more than they feel the enjoyment of the sin, they're going to continue to go back to that sin. They'll weigh it out. I can see their little brains working sometime. Is it worth it? And then if this fear over here of judgment is not very strong, it's worth it. And they'll go ahead and do what they want to do anyway. There has to be a fear of the judgment. The fear of the judgment came. Yeah. But remember, God's discipline is out of love. God's chastisement is out of love. Chapter 3, verse 38. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Not evil and good. It's only good. Now, you might think it to be evil. It's not evil. It's to get you to turn back to him, which is good. Yeah. It's to get us to understand we cannot get by with sin, because sin will destroy. Verse 39, he goes on to say, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Why are you complaining? Did you commit the sin? Did you not know that God said that you would have to pay for that sin? There would be chastisement upon that sin. There is consequences to sin. Why complain about it? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. thou hast not pardoned. We have transgressed. We have put God in a position, instead of him being able to bless us, he has to chasten us. Jeremiah saw it. We need to see it. Or we'll find God's judgment being poured out. And he is very just in his judgments. Verse 59, O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Wow. Yeah. See, his love doesn't change. Once you have received the love of God, his love never changes. There's nothing you can do to change that. The book of Romans in chapter 8, let me just read this to you. The book of Romans in chapter 8 is a verse that will help us, help you to understand this. Everything that God does, it's out of love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is a verse all of us know, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They're all going to work out. God is working in your life for good. But it could be that God is judging you of the sin so that you'll turn away from that sin. But know this, he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, mercy is available after chastisement. One of the things that I did, that my wife and I would do after judging and chastening the children, and they didn't want us to do this, but I'd look at them and say, all right, I love you. Tell me you love me. Now, they might not have been sincere, but they said it. Now, give me a hug, because it's all over. It's over now. See, God's told me that when you act up, then I, as a parent, have to discipline you. Because of what you've done, I had to discipline you. I remember Crystal looking me in the face, and she was crying. She said, but why does it have to hurt? I love you. Tell me you love me. Give me a hug. Now fellowship is restored. Amen. Until you do it again. Walk in fellowship. Don't put me in the position to where I have to spank you again. Walk in fellowship. How God wants his children to be. Walk in fellowship. Chapter 4, lamenting over the sufferings and understanding that God's chastening is to be feared. It has to hurt, or it's not feared. Only God knows how to chasten his children. I had one that you had to beat to hurt her. The other one, I just looked at her in a wrong way, and she started breaking down crying. So she hardly ever got spanked very hard, amen, because she's already broken. A strong-hearted, strong-willed, thick-skulled, some people are like that, amen, but God knows what it takes to break you. God knows what it takes to hurt you. And whatever he does is out of love to get you to get rid of that which is a hindrance to fellowship with him. That's powerful stuff. Chapter 4, verse 5. This is what Jeremiah is lamenting over. He wrote it down for us. He's lamenting over this. In chapter 4, verse 5, he says this, they that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. He said, everyone's might be a little bit different. The judgment of God is not the same with everybody. God judges sin. I believe that God starts out maybe a mild, it's a loss of peace. Sometimes it's a loss of peace and loss of fellowship will get you turning back to God and say, the sin's not worth it. If you fail that, then God has to bring something more harsh. If you fail to turn back after that, then there's even a greater judgment leading up to, ultimately, God saying, you've passed the point of no return. I'll not leave a child of mine in this world to give Satan the victory any longer. Come on home. I believe he'll take us home. Only God knows that. But the judgment of God, the chastisement of God is real. Yeah. Verse 11, he said, the Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and it hath devoured the foundations thereof. In Lamentations chapter 5, we'll be done. The plea for restoration. The plea for restoration. Verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Let that soak in for just a few minutes. The younger generation, they were in captivity for 70 years. Those were born in captivity. The younger had no say-so of the sins of their fathers. They had borne the iniquities of their fathers' sins. It's sad, but it's reality. Our sins affect others. It's sad, but it's reality. And now they're ready to be restored. Verse 16. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. Well, they got the right thought. Looking to God for his mercy and his grace. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. They now would be ready for God's forgiveness and restoration after the 70 years in captivity. The book of Lamentations, I hope it spoke to you tonight. I don't know just how God might have used it to speak to every individual here tonight, but there's so much there. It could be that we're in that place where you need to look up to God and say, oh Lord, turn me unto you, whatever it might take. There have been times when parents, realizing that there's nothing else they can do, they've done everything they could to try to give every child, their children, the best chance to turn out right. And that child, they see it coming. They try everything to try to get through. And they have to just look to God, who knows the only one that loves your children more than you is God. And you realize, God, whatever it takes, he's yours. God, whatever it takes, she's yours. We put our children in God's hands when they were real little. We dedicated them to the Lord. They're yours. Help us to be able to raise them the way you want them to be raised. That's what Jeremiah did. Ultimately, that's what Jeremiah did with the nation of Israel. As he couldn't get them to see, and he just turns them over to God. And he writes the book of Lamentations. Whatever it might be in your life tonight, know that you have a loving God who wants to fellowship with you. And the only thing that can hinder that fellowship is you yielding to sin. It's not worth it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It's not worth it. Don't put God in that position to have to judge you, to have to discipline you. Realize he will. And he knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to turn to him. Turn to him before that happens. The truth of God from the book of Lamentations. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for this book. And I trust, God, as we've just went through and briefly taught on this book, that it would be something that would encourage each and every one of us to continue to live as you would have us to live, and to enjoy the fellowship that you desire with your children, the blessings of walking close to our God. Meet with us now in this invitation. Speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. Help them to make decisions that you would have them to make tonight, not to put it off any longer. In Jesus' name we pray.